And then, so if Linda could respond to that, and then we'll maybe.
I just wanted to comment too on it. You know, just listening to concerns raised about there not being more people marching with the workers, and I think part of the problem is that we're not talking to each other. So, we're working in silos, and part of it too. You know, to be honest, I read the information about the march today, and it was a feeling of, you know, probably I should have, if I'd known about it ahead of time and had time to do more communicating, you know, well, you and I should sit down and talk more, because to me, I would have loved to have been there marching, but I would have wanted to see a message that was a broader message than what I saw being communicated for the march today. And I think that's part of the struggle too, is that feeling that, yeah, I'm from a steel family, you know, I'm from a couple of generations of steel workers. I spent the summer in one of the steel mills when I was doing my undergraduate degree, so I have a strong connection to that, but looking at what's happening there, part of me struggles with this feeling of, you know, we've got to support the workers, but what's the path forward? What are we all pushing for as the direction that we need to head in? And that's the piece that I think is missing. And, you know, we're talking about wanting to get people together communicating. We can all come together and build on and pull together a more wholesome picture that would draw more people, I'm convinced of it. You know, if I felt as though that piece was there, I think I'd be working to mobilize people that I work with to get down and march alongside. So it's something to think about.
Nadine?
Okay, thanks for giving me the microphone, because I am so excited and so energized and electrified by so many things that I've been hearing tonight that I hope that I can come up with some sort of comprehensive but focused response. But I think what I most need to say is that Canadians are not apathetic. It's just that they're so used to being ignored. Our politicians don't listen to us. This is common to every single group. Unless you're a rich corporate capitalist or you're representing, you have no voice. And if you have no voice, that means the issues that you want to bring to discuss to the table are not brought to the table. They're not making front page on the Spectator, that's okay, I'm sure. And I think that if we can work together to re-energize our democracy, to be able to force our governments to listen to the issues that we need to discuss, instead of just being like pawns for corporations, then if we can do that, then that is a really good reason for us to unite, and that is a broader issue for progressive, meaning people who want change. That is something that's worth making the time for. And even if we just got a single representative from each group to get together even once a month to talk about these things, and heck, can make it a potluck and eat food while we're doing it, because we all got to eat anyway, then I don't think it's a waste of time. I think it's worth the effort. And I, for one, am absolutely willing to help in any way I can. So, I mean, from my background, I'm a stay-at-home mom right now. I'm nearly 40. I've got my first baby. And my background is philosophy and bankruptcy and God knows what else. I'm an RMC now. But I'm reading Derek Jensen, and I'm working with Kairos at my church to try and bring like social and ecological justice to people who don't even know what organic means. And I mean, even if we could just get people to hear what we have to say, that would go a long way towards alleviating our activist fatigue.
About the Spectator specifically, not my favorite newspaper, but this is very concrete, but you can get meetings with the Spectator editorial board. I'm sure people probably have tried to do this before or have done this, but and actually the Foster Space Collaborative is doing this next Tuesday, and we're hoping that's going to change a little bit the way that the Spectator actually reports on LGBTQ issues in the city. Maybe a worthwhile united front kind of effort is to to actually, you know, tackle head on those folks in the spectator. Like, maybe we come together and we demand, well, we don't demand, but we work the phones, work the email, and get that meeting with the spec editorial board and start to say, look, there's a lot of grassroots organizing, there's a ton of stuff. If it makes, you know, we all know for sure that by the time anything makes a spectator, it's been happening for like a year or longer, right? So, you know, maybe we need to, like, basically go up and, you know, metaphorically kind of collar them and say, look, these are things that are happening. These are exciting. This is new. This is change. This is progressive. You need to pay attention to this. Here's where there's pain. Here's where there's suffering. Here's where there are problems. You need to pay attention to this. Because the thing about the Spec Editorial Board is once you actually get them in a room, you realize, at least as far as I know, well, I'll let you know on your next Tuesday, I think they're actually all human. And so there is that potential for connection. And maybe that's a way we start to take our local newspaper to task a little bit. Maybe, yeah.
I agree with you. But one point that is very important is that we have to connect with each other first and, you know, and tackle certain issues. And truth is that one of the elements in building social change is to work on study groups. And it's more or less what Ralph described, you know, but you just, you know, negotiate, talk about it until you prepare yourself and prepare your children and others, right, to work towards certain elements that are important and not deviate from that until you get it, and then there is the media, right? Because we go to the media in many different ways, but we are not organized. So that is another element, education, and more or less study groups, but they are just educational groups. You embrace certain philosophy or certain ideals, and then you go deeper into that.
Marie? Okay. And then, at this point, sorry, Mark, can I just, it's quarter after. Are people cool with kind of contracting to 9:30?
Fine.
Because we've got, I think that would cover the folks we have on the speakers list. Okay, thanks. Thanks for hanging out a bit after that.
I wanted to say a little bit about, like, the idea of democracy and asking our government for accountability or demanding accountability from the government is one approach to creating or renewing democratic experience in this country, I think. The other approach that I'm really interested in is the way that we can start seizing grassroots democratic control for our spaces. I've heard a statistic that says that in rural society, a group of 1,000 is about the largest group that you can be in, where every person in the group will feel that they have a voice. And in urban society, that number is halved. It's about 500 people in a group before the group is too unwieldy for people's voices to be individually, for people to have to experience, like, their voice being heard, I guess. And so I'm, like, really interested in what neighborhood democracy looks like and returning democracy to a community level. And I think there's some pretty cool ideas out there for ways that happens. Transition Towns is a really good example, or City Repair, which is a really amazing organization at Portland, which is restoring democratic place-making to neighborhoods in that there. And there's actually a City Repair group in Ottawa, and there's City Repair groups across the states now. But it's also about, like, sort of do-it-yourself democracy and not necessarily asking for permission to claim space and time and attention. And I think that we've been taught to be sort of afraid of, like, the repercussions of the state so that we don't sort of seize democracy in our own hands. But I don't know, for me, I'm tired of waiting for the government to answer my letters. And I think that there are sort of models and examples of ways that democracy can happen outside of, like, traditional government systems that are worth thinking about. And that if our movements can support each other in creating those spaces, that'll be another major source of power for us in terms of change.
Super.
Thank you. I see six people standing, sitting up there, but actually behind you, I see 60, maybe 600. You're a spokesperson for your group. And I see a thread right now connecting all of you, and you can keep that thread together. But sometime, having a meeting, and then going back to your group, and tell your group about this evening, and say it's going to be ongoing. Don't let them think it was a one-time shot. And that you're living as they say in style. Yes, it would be difficult for you to meet, but you will meet whenever it's convenient. If it's not six, then it's going to be five, and you'll pass the information on the one who wasn't there. But you all represent a large group of people who already are an organized group. You don't have to try to organize something new just from six people tonight. Keep it going. And that's how things build. You have a very strong union man here who's been, we're doing the same thing we're talking about for 6 years. Pump him. You know, don't let him fall asleep here tonight thinking that he's going to come out of this. Let him know that you're going to try to stay connected. One of you's got a fire in your belly, maybe two of you have. Let those be the ones who push the other one and say, come on, get out. You can't all have the same fire in your belly. You got one young lady here who's got more fire than all of you put together. So keep it up. Yes, I'm part of the community, and I pick up what I can, but I'm not in a strong group like all of you are, believe it or not, you are, you know, and you're representing all the ghosts that stand behind you, and you're going to be the spokesperson for this evening to go back and tell them. They may not even know this has happened, but tell them it did, and tell them you're going to keep giving them feedback. It'll make you be stronger, and you've got, you all know what your strengths are. We don't. You know who your members are. Some of you have 10, maybe others have 100. But just keep it going. This title was Building Progressive United. That's what you all want. Follow it up.
Eating is probably gone too long, so I'm not going to jump in this, but anything that you were, I just think that what Rolf is going to say is something that's really important, that is a practical experience of how to organize. Practical experience, we put together the folks who work in the steel mill. They're not all on the same page. They're not all from the same place. And we need to be talking very broadly. We need to have a movement, we need to have direction and where we're heading. But we also need to have the links and connections out to all sorts of different people, because the reality of the situation is it's coming crashing down around us. And whether we saw it first, fine, it's coming down. We're seeing it in terms of the economy right now, but we're also seeing it in terms of the environment, we're also seeing it in terms of the energy situation. It's all crashing, and there's going to be an accounting. And if there's nobody there to say why this has happened, then we're going to be in chaos. But there are people who know why it's happening. And you know, they're sitting here in this room tonight, and we need to be doing that. And we need to be having that conversation on and on. You talked a bit about the media and you know, the hopes for the spectator. You know, I don't have any hopes for the spectator, sorry. I don't have any hopes, because that media is not about community. It's about corporate. It's about the bottom line. That's what they do. And that's what decides what is in their paper and what is not in the paper. And yes, you can hear some, you can get little victories here and little victories there, and oh, they wrote a story about this, and they wrote a story about that. It doesn't change anything fundamental, because they understand that there's nothing about what we're doing that is going to help them meet their bottom line. offices. We need our own medium. That's what that conversation that Rolf was talking about. That's our own medium. That's our, and you know, Maggie represents some of that. That's what we need. We don't need to, if we're going to go looking for a parliament to solve our problems for us, we need to solve our problems for us. They're not the ones, they don't have the answers for us, we have the answers for ourselves.
I wanted to go back to the young woman who suggested the activist website, because I think that the activists that are coming up after, I'm not old, but I'm getting there, and I'm not going to be here forever, and so there's a whole generation of people coming up who are going to do it differently than we do, and I think the internet is a big part of that. It has been a big part of many movements around the world. And so I just wanted to remind everybody that she mentioned that, and that I think that would be a fabulous way for people to continue to connect, because I can't always come out for an hour meeting, but I can click on a website and find out what's going on, you know, when I have that 5 minutes and I'm not doing 1,400 other things. Now, I don't think that replaces face-to-face meetings and conversations. Those are really important, but I think we also have to be open to new ways of connecting and new ways of coming together. And also, like, everybody can go to that. It's not just the six of us here. It's other people who, but everybody can access a computer in a library, or not everybody has a computer. I know that, but everybody can access them somewhere. And the people who are coming up behind us are accessing the internet all over the place. One of the fastest ways to connect with homeless street youth is the internet on Facebook. And so those are kids who don't have computers, but know how to get to them. So I just wanted to remind everybody that she said that.